Om Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Punaktu, Sahavirjam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavati Tamastu Mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
I was telling some of you earlier that this Dakshinamurti Stotram is something that when we were studying in India, and Swamiji was teaching the last course that. The last course that he taught was the Brahma Sutras, and the Brahma Sutras was always introduced. We would get there about half an hour early for a whole series of chants that we would chant, and the Dakshinamurti Stotram was one of them. Dakshinamurti is considered, is praised as the first teacher. It's Ishwara, or Shiva, in the form of the guru, in the form of the teacher, and that's why for Swamiji all of the temples are Dakshinamurti temples. You know, and actually he's given a talk on the Dakshinamurti that I want to find that talk. Maybe you have that talk, didn't you? There's a talk where he gives on Dakshinamurti, and he actually goes through all of the different postures and all of the accoutrements that are there. So I'm going to try to find that. You have that? I'm going to put it on. Yeah, it's a tape. That's all right. I'm going to put it on our website so you can listen to him talk. He actually was at Salersburg. He was talking about the Dakshinamurti idol there at the Salersburg Temple, and just going through. He's talked about it several times. It'd be nice to listen to that. So, well, I'll talk about it briefly here, but he talks about it in depth. And so, let's look at this first prayer verse, the Mount of Vyakya. This first prayer verse, which actually is a prayer to Dakshinamurti and gives a description of him and the setting in which he's teaching. Okay, so I actually want us to learn how to chant all of these, so I'll do my best and repeat. Om Mauna. I'll try to chant it all the way through this verse, and then we'll go line by line. Om Mauna Vyakya Prakatita Parabrahma Tattvam Yuvanam Varashishtante vasad rishikanaihi avritam brahmanishtai acharyendram karakalita chinmudram anandamurtim swatmaramam muditavadanam dakshinamurtimidhe. Repeat after me. Mauna vyakya prakatita. Mauna vyakya prakatita. Parabrahmatattvam yuvanam, Parabrahmatattvam yuvanam, Varashishtante vasudrashikanaihi, Varashishtante vasudrashikanaihi, Avratam brahmanishtai, Avratam brahmanishtai, Acharyendram karakalitachinmudram, Acharyendram karakalita chinmudram anandamurtim, anandamurtim, swatmaramam, swatmaramam, muditavadanam, muditavadanam, dakshinamurtimide, dakshinamurtimide. So we'll go through, I'll do the Sunday, and explain this, and then we'll chant it a few more times, trying to remember the meaning. Okay? So, during the Sandhi, first long compound, Mauna Vyakya Prakatita Para Brahma Tattvam. It's one word, one compound. Mauna Vyakya Prakatita Para Brahma Tattvam Yuvanam Varashishta Antevasad. It's actually Antevasad. Antevasad Rishi Ganaihi. Again, that's one compound. Varshishta antevasat rishiganaihi avritam brahma nishtaihi acharya indram kara kalita chin mudram ananda murti ananda murtim swa atma ramam mudita vadanam dakshina murtim so dakshina murtim ide. Okay. So do you see the bottom two words? Dakshina murtim ide. So we're going to start there. Ide means I praise or I pranam to. It has a sense of praising, you know. I praise or I pranam to, I prostrate to, I worship. Dakshina murti. Dakshina murti is the one whose murti, whose form is dakshina, faces south. The one whose form faces south. Facing south means when he's teaching, Dakshina murti is viewed as teaching his group of disciples facing south, because facing south, he's facing Lord Yama. He's facing death. Dakshinamurti himself is free from death. He can face death. And his disciples are facing north, facing life, facing moksha, freedom from death. So the Lord Dakshinamurti, the one who faces south. So, and we'll see later as in different ways that he's praised, but think of Dakshinamurti as the one who faces south, as the first teacher, and we'll see about now it's going to paint a scene for Dakshinamurti in this verse. So ide is the present tense, first person singular. So I praise, I worship, I prostrate to the Dakshinamurti, to the Lord in the form of Lord Shiva in the form of Dakshinamurti. Okay? Dakshinamurti is in the accusative accusative singular for Sanskrit people. Now, we have a bunch of accusative singulars that are all now talking about Dakshinamurti. So the first long compound, we're going back up to the top. So I worship, I praise the Lord as Dakshinamurti, in the form of Dakshinamurti, who is Mauna Vyakya Prakatita Parabrahma Tattvam. The one who, the truth, reading backwards, let's just read the whole compound backwards from Tattvam. The truth, the tattva, of Brahman, of Parabrahman, of the Supreme Brahman, Brahman which is supreme. Brahman supreme means that which is, see with param, let me just give you a little definition, one common definition of param. That which is desha, kala, vastu, aparicheda. Param is that which is unlimited, aparicheda, unlimited by desha, space, kala, time, vastu, any type of object, objectification. A vastu is a thing, you know? So, Brahman is param. It is infinite. It has no limitations. It's not limited or contained by desha, space, kala, time, or vastu, any type of objectification. So, Brahman, which is param, which is limitless. So, the tattvam, that truth, that essence of param Brahman, the reality of Param Brahman. Parabrahman, Parabrahma Tattvam. So, who, the reality of Parabrahman, or the reality which is Parabrahman, the Brahman which is infinite, free from Desha Kalavastu Aparichedaha, that reality is Prakatita, is revealed, is made manifest, is made clear, made obvious, made seen, Prakatita. Vyakya, by an explanation, by his exposition, by his teaching, vyakya, which is maunam, which is done in silence, by a silent teaching, okay? A teaching which takes place in maunam. You know maunam? Brahman is maunam, right? For Brahman there is no duality, there's no vocal cords, there's no thought. There's just pure infinite being. That's the nature of Brahman. The nature of Brahman is pure silence. Now the Lord is Dakshinamurti, is teaching the nature of Parabrahman through and making that manifest, revealing it through a silent exposition. So we'll see how he does that in a moment. Okay, so mauna means without any speech. Mauna vyakhya prakatita para brahma tattvam. Yuvanam Dakshinamurti, the Dakshinamurti, who is Yuvanam? Ever young. Yuvana means youth, means never, the Brahman never grows old, right? Brahman is free from time and so free from age and so ever youthful, ever fresh. So Dakshinamurti is, when you see Dakshinamurti, the actual Murti, you don't see an old Dakshinamurti. You see a Dakshinamurti who is tejas, who is absolutely vibrant as is Brahman, free from any type of decay or degradation of any type, because your being, in fact, is ever young. Ever young means it's not young, it's not old, it's ever fresh. It's not subject to any type of aging or decay whatsoever. So here, that Dakshinamurti, that is Yuvanam, youthful, that's the, you have to, now we're going to kind of visualize him, Dakshinamurti, who is youthful, means full of tejas, bright, whose exposition of the nature of Parabrahman, or the truth of Parabrahman, that exposition is something which is revealed in silence, through a silent exposition, mauna vyakhya. Then, some more, we have to take all of these together. He says, so he's teaching the nature of the self, the nature of Brahman, through an unfoldment. He's revealing the nature of Brahman through an unfoldment which is taking place in silence. And he, if you visualize him facing the south, ever young, ever fresh, then what? Varashishta means aged, very old. Varashishta. Ante vasad means dwelling near. The ante vasins are the students. In India, the students used to come and actually dwell in a gurukula with the teacher. So the antevasis are the ones who are dwelling there as students with the teacher. So here these are these aged, very elderly antevasis, aged people dwelling with the teacher. Who are they? Rishi Ganaihi. They are a group, a group of rishis, of aged rishis, who are dwelling there as pupils of the Lord, right? Because we think of when the creation becomes manifest, it's like the breath of Ishwar, the breath of the Lord, manifests in words in the minds of the Vedas. The Vedas manifest in the minds of the rishis, right, in the form of words. And so here we have these aged rishis who are students of Dakshinamurti, who are sitting there. So then it says, this Yuvanan, this Lord, the Lord, Dakshinamurti, who is teaching, revealing the Parabrahman, he is avritam. You see that word avritam? He is surrounded. The Lord is surrounded by these groups of rishis, these groups of aged rishis, very old rishis, who are his students. So here he is, ever youthful, sitting, teaching, you know, these groups of rishis, these groups of sages, or these groups of elderly sages, right, who are his students. And these sages, these groups of sages, of rishis, are Brahmanishtaihi. They themselves are absorbed in Brahman. You can take Brahmanishta as those who are absorbed in Brahman, or you can also take it as their sole commitment as sannyasis, as rishis, is Brahmajnanam. So their whole life is a commitment to Brahman, so to gaining the knowledge of Brahman. Or you can take it as they themselves are absorbed in that reality, which is Brahman. Nishta means they are rooted in that. They have Brahmanishta. These rishis are rooted in Brahman, means they're committed as sannyasis to contemplation and the shravana manana nididhyasana on Brahman, and they have nothing else. There's nothing else of any value to them. So their life is committed to Brahman, or you can take it as they are absorbed in contemplation, themselves absorbed in contemplation on Brahman. So you have the Rishi Ganaihi in the instrumental plural, and then Brahmanishtaihi. So these group of rishis, all of whom are contemplating on Brahman, whose whole being is just devoted to this knowledge, they are sitting there, Dakshinamurti is there, surrounded by these group of rishis, who are his, this aged group of rishis, who are his students. Okay? Then it says, another note back to talking about Dakshinamurti. Dakshinamurti, who is the Acharya Indram, Acharya Indram. He is, Indra can mean, when it comes at the end of the compound, it can mean first or foremost. It can also mean the Lord, like Indra the Devata, who's the Devata of so many different Devas. But it can also, at the end of a compound, mean the first. And Dakshinamurti is considered the first Acharya. You can say the foremost of Acharyas or the first of the Acharyas, first of the teachers. So Dakshinamurti himself is considered the first teacher. And so the Acharya Indram, then it says, Kara Kalita Chin Mudram. Kara means the hand. Kalita means something is done with the hand, something being done by the hand. Kala is hand, Kalita, something that is made or brought about by the hand. So Kara Kalita. What is? The Chin Mudra. Kara Kalita Chin Mudra. You know, and you've seen a lot of maybe Indian dance or in all of the devatas, they'll have different signs that they make with their hands. This is the Chin Mudra. Has everybody seen this, right? This Chin Mudra. So the one for whom the Chin Mudra is made by his hand. So Kara is the hand. Kalita is the hand that's come into this form. What form? The form of the Chin Mudra. This is the Chin Mudra is a mudra for the reality of this knowledge. For the Chin Mudra, this body, little finger body, the physical body, the mind, the sense organs. So here's the jiva, body, mind, sense organs. That's the jiva upadhi, right? This is the ahankara.
Wow.
Here's the ahankara normally for an avyani. Yeah. The ahankara goes to the body, mind, sense organs. The thumb is Brahman. So the Chin Mudra is this. The ahankara. Now, once one person is a jnani, what happens is the ahankara breaks its identification with the body, mind, sense organs and becomes identified with Brahman. That's the Chin Mudra. Isn't that beautiful? And so when you see the Dakshinamurti, any murti of Dakshinamurti, the Dakshinamurti, one's form is the murti whose form is facing south. So you'll always see him with this Chin Mudra. And it's through this Chin Mudra, so you can imagine, he's sitting there with the Chin Mudra, and by means of this, he is teaching the rishis in silence. Right? This is the teaching. This is the teaching. And so he's sitting there himself, abiding as Brahman, and teaching in the form of, by holding his position with this, his hand in this Chin Mudra, is himself giving this exposition in silence. This is the Mauna Vyakya. This is the silent exposition, is this Chin Mudra. So you can imagine him sitting there in silence, and all of the rishis, all of these aged rishis, themselves are Brahmanishta, are Brahmanishtas, are totally absorbed in Brahman, right, are sitting there before him as his student. And he's holding up this Chin Mudra, which is what needs to be learned. Okay. So, kara, hand, kalita, it is made by the hand. It is formed by the hand. The Chin Mudra formed by his hand. Right? So, kara, kalita, Chin Mudram, whose murti, whose swarupa is ananda. So, Dakshinamurti, his very swarupa, his very nature is ananda, is limitless fullness. Ananda, ananda murtim, whose very being, satchitananda. His very being is ananda, limitless being. And not only that, swatma ramam, he is also reveling. Rama means to revel. He's reveling in his own self, which is Brahman. He's reveling in himself, which is the very nature of ananda. So his mind, right, is reveling in his self. Because they say swatma, in his self, ramam, reveling in himself. That means his antakarana. His body, mind, sense organs, the complex, body, mind, sense organs complex, is there reveling in himself, his nature being ananda. So ananda murtim, Swatma. It could be Swatma or Rama. Rama or Arama means reveling in. If I break the sandhi that way, Swatma Arama. Reveling in his own self. Mudita Vadanam. Vadanam. Vadanam means his face. His face, or you can, we say his face has a smile of pleasure. You know, a smile of joy or happiness. You know how sometimes we talk about the Dakshinamurti or the different murtis, Shiva Murti or whatever temple you go to, they have kind of a, on their face, this expression on their face has such deep shanti and peace. And there's this little half smile, you know, where it shows them that they're just totally absorbed in the they're reveling in their own self. And there's that little kind of half smile. That's the mudita vadanam. Their face has that expression of gentleness, of pleasure, of happiness. So whose face, you know, has that gentle happiness, his own self reveling in ananda, the ananda which is his ananda murti, his very nature. So that is the Dakshinamurti ide. I praise or I worship or I pranam to Dakshinamurti, who has this gentle smile, this beautiful expression of joy on his face, who is reveling in his own nature, swa-atma aramam, whose very nature, swarupa, is ananda, who is sitting there with the chin mudra, whose hand is in the form of the chin mudra. He, Dakshinamurti, who is the acharyendram, the very first teacher, sitting there surrounded by the aged rishis who are his students, who themselves are Brahmanishtas, who themselves are totally absorbed in Brahman, committed to Brahman, absorbed in Brahman. And he sitting there, Yuvanam, ever fresh, ever young, being one who is revealing the Brahmatattvam, the truth of the Param Brahman, making that clear, making that manifest, making that what we call sakshat, making that aproksha, making that directly recognized by his silent teaching. That's the prayer verse. So this is the verse we'll chant every time as our prayer verse as we do this one. So now that we know the meaning, let's go through. Om Mauna Vyakya Prakatita. Om Mauna Vyakya Prakatita. Parabrahma Tattvam Yuvanam. Parabrahma Tattvam Yuvanam. Mauna Vyakya Prakatita. Parabrahma Tattvam Yuvanam. Mauna Vyakya Prakatita. Parabrahma Tattvam Yuvanam. Varshishtante vasadvrishikanaihi. Varshishtante vasadvrishikanaihi. Avritam brahmanishtai. Avritam brahmanishtai. Acharyendram. Acharyendram. Karakalita chinmudram anandamurtim. Karakalita chinmudram anandamurtim. Swatma Ramam Mudita Vadanam. Swatma Ramam Mudita Vadanam. Dakshina Murtimi De. Dakshina Murtimi De. Mauna Vyakya Prakatita. Mauna Vyakya Prakatita. Parabrahma Tattvam Yuvanam. Parabrahma Tattvam Yuvanam. Varshishtante vasadvrishikanaihi. Varshishtante vasadvrishikanaihi. Avritam brahmanishtai. Avritam brahmanishtai. Acharyendram karakalitachinmudram. Acharyendram karakalitachinmudram. Anandamurtim. Anandamurtim. Swatma Ramam. Swatma Ramam. Mudita Vadanam. Dakshina Murti Mide. Mudita Vadanam. Dakshina Murti Mide. Okay, we'll learn that as we go along. Let's go to the third verse. I'll try chanting this through, mostly just so I can do it right, and then we'll go line by line. Vishwandarapanadrishyamananagari Turyam nijantaragatam Parashanatmani mayaya Bahirivodbhutam yata nitraya Yasakshat kurute prabodha samaye Swatmanamevadvayam Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Nama Idam Shri Dakshina Murtaye Vishwam Darpana Drishyamana Nagari Vishwam Darpana Drishyamana Nagari Tulyan Nijantar Gatam Tulyan Nijantar Gatam Pashyannatmani Mayaya Pashyannatmani Mayaya Bahirivodbhutam yatha nitraya Bahirivodbhutam yatha nitraya Yasakshat kurute prabodha samaye Yasakshat kurute prabodha samaye Swatmanam evadvayam Swatmanam evadvayam Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Nama Idam
Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Nama Idam
Shri Dakshina Murtaye
Shri Dakshina Murtaye
Vishwandarpana Drishyamana Nagari
Vishwandarpana Drishyamana Nagari
Tulyam Nijantar Gatam
Tulyam Nijantar Gatam
Pashyannatmani mayaya bahirivod Pashyannatmani mayaya bahirivod Bhutan yatha nidraya
Bhutan yatha nidraya
Yasakshat kurute prabodha samaye Yasakshat kurute prabodha samaye Swatmanam evadvayam
Swatmanam evadvayam
Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Nama Idam
Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Nama Idam
Shri Dakshina Murtaye
Shri Dakshina Murtaye
So we'll unfold this one and then chant it a few times after another meeting. Let's do the Sunday. Vishwam, long compound. Darpana, Drishya, Drishyamana. Darpana, Drishyamana, Nagari, Tulyam. Nija Antaragatam. Nija Antaragatam. Pashyan Atmani. Double na is a sandhi. Pashyan Atmani, Mayaya, Bahihi, Eva. Udbhutam. Bahihi eva udbhutam. Yatha nidraya. Yasakshat kurute. Yaha sakshat kurute. Prabodha samaye. Swa atmanam. Eva advayam. Swa atmanam. Eva Advayam. Tasmai Shri Guru Murtiye Nama Idam Shri Dakshina Murtiye. Okay. So, there's a lot of vision in this verse. Let's see what it means. Vishwam. Vishwam is the whole jagat, the whole manifest creation, everything that exists within duality, all. Vishwam also just says can be used as a pronoun that means all, everything. It's also a word for the whole entire manifest creation. The whole universe is Vishwam. So the Vishwam. Darpana. Darpana means a mirror. A darpana is a mirror. Drishyamana means that which is being seen in a mirror. Darpana, a mirror. Drishyamana, being seen, Nagari, come from Nagara, a city. Nagari Tulyam means, Tulyam means like or equal to. So like a city, being seen in a mirror. This universe, this Vishwa, this universe is like a city which is being seen in a mirror. Okay? Darpana, Drishyamana, Nagari, city, Tulyam. So Vishwam, this universe is like a city being seen in a mirror. Nijantaragatam. Nija means the self. It's the Atma is Nija. Antaragatam, existing in the self. This city is like a mirror. This city, this universe is like a, it's like a city being seen in a mirror. It is abiding gata, inside, antaragatam, inside of oneself. Nija antaragatam. Pashyan is a present participle. It means seeing. Okay? Seeing. So take just this, take this down now. Seeing. Atmani, in oneself. So seeing in oneself. This city, this universe, which is existing inside of oneself. Right, which is actually existing inside of oneself, like a city being seen in a mirror. Right? Mayaya, by Maya, bahihi eva, as though outside. Udbhutam means it appears or it springs up, it occurs, it happens, it springs up, as though outside. Yata, just as nidraya, just as in a dream. Nidra actually means sleep. What they're talking about, just like in sleep, how in deep sleep, in nidra, in the state of nidra, how in deep sleep, a city, you know, a universe can as though spring up. That universe that springs up in the dream, so yata, just as by a dream, the universe, the city, and when you dream, say a city, or a meadow, or whatever happens to be the situation of the dream, that springs up, comes into manifestation, and in reality, now, that dream is existing inside of yourself. Right? It comes in you, it comes from you, sustained by you, resolves into you. So that's what happens in the dream. So just as in the dream, it appears, even though it exists, nijantaragatam, it exists inside of you, it appears to be outside of you. Because when the dream manifests, you take the form of a character within the dream, and you experience the dream through your sense organs, and so the dream world is outside of you. Right? I don't see the whole dream existing in me. I see myself as an individual within the dream world, experiencing the world as different from myself. Just like in this room, there's a subject-object relationship. I am the subject, you are all the object. You are existing outside of me, you certainly aren't in me. I don't see all of you as in me. You're not in my body, right? You're outside of me. And so that's my reality as an individual within this creation. I am the subject, you're the object. You're not in me, you're outside of me. Subject-object relationship. And so, so here what he says is, just like in a dream, yata, just as from deep sleep how the dream will arise, and when that dream arises, you know, due to that maya, the maya of the dream, I appear, you know, everything appears outside of me. But in actuality, so what does he says? He say, Pashyan, seeing, Vishwam, this universe, which is like a city being seen in a mirror, which is existing, Nijantaragatam, which is existing inside of me, right? Which is existing inside of me, due to my maya, right? Mayaya, due to my maya, it appears as though outside. The whole creation, you have to look at it like this. The whole Vishwa comes due to my maya. From the standpoint of Brahman. This whole creation comes due to my Maya. That is the material. Same for the dream. The dream is the manifestation of the dream is due to my Maya from the standpoint of the individual. So now this creation comes due to my Maya. And in fact, it is like a city existing in the mirror, because in the mirror, the whole thing is there, right, reflected in consciousness. The whole city is there being reflected in consciousness, being reflected in me. It's actually there existing in me. I am the conscious being, you know, in whom this creation manifests. So I'm the conscious being in whom the creation manifests. So the whole creation is existing in me. But I appear, but just like the dream, and due to the very power of Maya, it appears to be existing outside of me as long as I'm a jiva within it. If I'm a jiva within it, this creation existing outside of me. But in reality, the whole creation is like a mirror reflecting me. Right? The whole creation is like a city within a mirror that the chit-abhasa, the reflection of consciousness, it reflects me, and I am, and it, in truth, right, is abiding inside of me, in the sense that there's no, I am then the very conscious being which the whole Vishwa, the whole universe is enjoying. And it's exactly the same for the individual. That's why for the individual, the dream analogy, Swamiji has called it the Achilles heel, you know, the Achilles heel of the mitya, because you experience as an individual, in a sense, what Ishwara experiences in the total, the Sameshti Upadhi from Ishwara, consciousness plus the manifestation of the whole Vishwa, right? Where the whole Vishwa, whole universe comes from me, is sustained by me, and resolves into me. Just like for me, in a dream, you have that experience, so you have something to relate to, you know? Like, say if I were to just give this, and you don't have the dream example, you don't have your own little Maya example, where you get to be the Ishwara of the dream, where the dream comes from your conscious being, from the conscious being, is sustained by the conscious being, resolves into the conscious being. That whole dream universe is like a city being reflected in a mirror. In fact, that whole dream reflected in a mirror means take the mirrorness of it as the antikarna, as the sattva, as the chit-abhasa, the mind that is holding the mirror in it, holding the universe in it, holding the dream world in it. That dream world is illumined by me. I am the self of that dream world. In exactly the same way, I'm not limited by the dream world, just as I am not at all limited by the dream world, you know, which I illumine. The same way, I am not at all limited by this entire creation, which I illumine. The Maya is so powerful that it makes you identify with the jiva within the creation. Think of the dream. You're identified with a character within the dream, and then you're experiencing that dream world as outside of you, the dream character. Of course, that's the power of the Maya. And so you who are Brahman, say, from the standpoint of the dream character, I am this limited person. I am this individual within this, existing within this dream, subject to birth and death, different from you, you, and you, you know? One who is walking through this creation, experiencing this creation outside of me, subject-object relationship. That's what you are saying. You who in reality, the mind is saying that, but the mind is saying that about you, right? I am here, right? I am here, this dream character, living in this dream. I am here, this character, living in this particular reality. I am. Here's the I am, right? This is the dream character, I am. What has to happen is that this ahankara has to go here. It has to reunite with the truth of its being. That's the Parabrahma Tattvam. It has to reunite with the truth of its being. It has to recognize the truth of its being. Then that little dream character won't say, I am, right? I am the one who is living in this world subject to birth and death. They'll say, I am the one from whom this universe has come, you know, is sustained and into whom it resolves. That's the jnani. But by this power of Maya, all of us, until we have self-knowledge, every jiva, until you have self-knowledge, you are a dream character in this dream. You are a character with it. That's you are, not really, but you are. You are in terms of your own mind, because that's how powerful the identification is. It's just like with the rope snake. If a rope's mistaken for a snake, there is no snake there, but for you there is. For you there's a snake. If you see the snake, for you there's a snake. And that means your whole reality is built around that snake, right? Not around the rope, because for you there is no rope, even though the only thing that's there is the rope. What can save you from the snake is only knowledge of the rope, right? You can't get rid of the snake. You can't shoo it away, right? Because there is no snake. The only thing you can do is gain knowledge of the rope, and that takes care of the snake. So like that, how can you shoo away this creation? How can you shoo away the subject-object relationship when the whole Maya, you're within the box of that reality? The only way to make this mitya, to make this reality that you experience through your sense organs, is absolutely real, because every part of it that is experiencing this creation is made of this creation. Like, every part of the dream character that's experiencing the dream is part and parcel of that dream. It can't just pull itself out of the dream and look and say, oh, you know, this is just an apparent reality. It can't do that. So it needs a teaching to make it able to include itself in the dream fabric and recognize that its very self, the very me, is not an object in the dream fabric, but it's the very conscious being from which this whole appearance comes. So that needs to be seen, but it cannot be seen without knowledge of Brahman, without knowledge of the self. Because how can you get out of the box? Anything that you know, anything, any means of knowledge that you have, or is going to be contained within duality, what's going to give you the recognition that in fact I am the self from whom the whole creation comes? Because the problem is, you already are that self. And it is already absolutely experiential in terms of being self-evident, of being the conscious being that you are. But the consciousness itself is self-evident, self-shining, but it's not the one that's suffering from ignorance. The one who's suffering from ignorance is the little person in the meadow, the little person in the dream, or the individual within this creation. That's the one that's suffering, not the me that illumines the whole thing. I'm not suffering at all. There, for me, there is no ajnana. There's just me. But, you know, the one who's in the dream or in the creation, who is not at all away from the conscious being, who has the conscious, the Brahman as its me, as its very self, but it's only recognizing or relating to the self from its own standpoint, which is one of limited knowledge. So the mind, the dream character, the mind of the individual in the dream is saying, I exist, I am a human being, I am a person here, you know, experiencing this world, and I am subject to birth and death. And that's true. I, as the body, am subject to birth and death. As the mind, I'm subject to all kinds of things. I'm subject to whatever it's doing or thinking or feeling. So I'm subject to all of those things from the standpoint of the mind, from the standpoint of the body. What it does not realize is that the I that it enjoys, that is its very swarupa, it's not like Brahman, you, are away from the mind or away from the body. Not at all. This body, mind, sense organs, has for its very being me. And so why shouldn't it take itself to be me? It has no idea of the clay pot or the satyam-mitya relationship. It has to simply recognize that, yes, I, the changeless Brahman being that I am its truth, and that I am at the same time totally free from it. And that's the viveka that has to be made. So now he says, what he's saying here is, you know, this universe is existing inside of me like a city reflected in a mirror, right? So seeing that in myself, by my maya, seeing that, but understanding by my maya, it appears as though outside of me, I become a jiva. By maya, it appears as though outside of me. The same way as a dream, that's the magic of the maya, that it has the power to do that. So now he says, Yaha Sakshat Kurute. He who, Sakshat Kurute means, for something to become Sakshat, Kurute means it's made Sakshat. It means it becomes, you could say, it presents itself right in front of you so that it is totally seen. Like they talk about, if I say Sakshat Jnanam, Sakshat Jnanam means direct, immediate knowledge. There's no distance between, there's no indirect nature to the knowledge. I see it immediately and clearly. They talk about, like, so one way they use Sakshat is, say, for instance, if a ritual is done and the Lord Agni is being invoked, say Agni appears, then he's standing there right before you. The Lord in the form of Agni is standing there right before you, Sakshat. He's immediately present. So now with this jnanam, with this knowledge, the one for whom this recognition that this whole universe, right, exists in me, existing in me, right, exists in me like a city being reflected, being seen in a mirror. This entire universe exists in me, and by my maya, it appears to be outside. Right? Say the one who, just like in dream, say the one for whom this is Sakshat. This has been made absolutely clear. When would it be made clear? Prabodha Samaye, at the time of knowledge, at the time of knowing. And Prabodha also means at the time of waking up. Yata Nidraya, just like for a dream, just like by a dream, you know, when you wake up from the dream, then you understand, oh, it was just a dream, right? That dream came, I dreamt the dream, it was there, I was totally involved in it, I was in the dream, as though, it's all totally clear when you wake up from the dream. So for a dreamer, then no problem, you wake up from the dream, all you have Sakshat Jnanam, clear, no doubt. When here, in terms of Atma Jnanam, in the same way, though here itself, because at least when I wake up from a dream, the dream's gone. It's like, see, it's gone. I'm still here. All of this took place. It came for me. It was sustained by me, resolved. It's not here anymore. It didn't have any reality. It didn't change me or hurt me in any way. That's all very clear. You now have to recognize that still being here. You have to wake up from this dream while still being in it. Mm-hmm. Because until... Well, it would be kind of like this. Say you're in a dream, and it's a very vivid, very real dream. You're totally engaged in it. And in the middle of the dream, while the dream is still going on, with all of its force, you as the little jiva in the dream, the whole dream becomes a lucid dream. Where you yourself, say now I'm kind of making this up, but it's a style of lucid dream. You yourself, you're still there, the karma, the dream karma hasn't run out yet. So you're there, but all of a sudden, you're awake to the fact that this is a dream. You're still experiencing the dream from the eyes and from the upadi, from the body, mind, sense organs of that dream character in the dream, but you have totally woken up to the dreamness of it. And so then you recognize, there you are, walking through this dream, which you recognize to be yourself, to be a projection of yourself. And then at that time you recognize, here I am as a jiva, walking through myself, which is Ishwara, right? The total dream is Ishwara. And I recognize that I am the self of the whole dream, and that this jiva is part and parcel of the dream story, right? So that's kind of understanding the certain type of lucid dream where you're able to experience the dreamness of the dream while still being a character in the dream, you know, as opposed to just being a lucid dream where you just simply are Ishwara. You recognize it as a dream, you're awake to the dream, and you're not identified with any part of it. Say you have a lucid dream, the dream karma of the dream individual is not over yet, and so you now experience this lucid dream from within the dream, with dream sense organs, dream mind, recognizing that this is all completely mithya, and my being is totally free from this whole thing. And in fact, my being is the self of the whole. I am the one from whom this dream has come, sustained, and into whom it resolves. And that is Sakshat Jnanam. That is that Sakshat Kurute. So Yaha Sakshat Kurute, He who sees this directly, clearly, without any vagueness, not as an indirect knowledge, but as a recognition of the reality that is here. He who sees that prabodha samaye, when he wakes up, at the time of waking up, means that when one gains jnanam, when one gains that knowledge, so at the time of gaining knowledge, prabodha samaye, then he sees, what does he see at the time of waking up? Swatmanam, his own self, eva advayam. He sees his own being, which is non-dual, which is itself advayam, one without a second. One without a second. To see now, say in reference to the dream, say you have the good fortune of having this lucid dream and being a character within it. What does it mean to see yourself as advayam, as one without a second? So it says, yaha sakshat kurute, who sees directly, immediately, swatmanam, his own being, eva advayam, as non-dual alone, means that this creation that you experience, which is nothing but duality, I mean, it's infinite multiplicity, you can be more dual, plus there's the subject-object relationship, knower-known relationship that takes place within the creation, you see the whole manifest creation as maya, as mitya. Maya, that which yama iti maya, that which is not, that is maya. Means that which has no independent being of its own. So like when you say the dream, when you look at the dream, that's a manifestation of duality, but it doesn't have, the dream does not have the same order of reality that you do. You are the self before, during, and after the dream. When the dream is present, it enjoys you for its being. You are the sat, the existence which the dream enjoys. Because of you, the dream is known. Because of you, the dream characters have consciousness. You are the very sat-chit of the dream. You're the very being of the dream. That means the dream itself, which comes into being and goes out of being, it has no being of its own. That's why, that's the Advaita. Advaita, or Advaya, means one without a second. It doesn't say you're not experiencing duality. It's saying that this duality, this infinite manifest, this infinite display of duality, has no being apart from you. You are itself. Like if you take, use the example of the big, take a bas relief, a big square of clay, and do a bas relief sculpture on that clay, of a city. We can say this is a city existing in the clay, a city with all kinds of beings and the clouds in the sky and the sun and rays, all carved into the clay, all kinds of animals and birds and humans and buildings and trees, a whole little universe carved into the clay. That universe, as intricately carved as it may be, has no being apart from the clay. That clay universe is mitya. The Advaita is the clay. There's nothing there but clay. The universe, as complicated as it may have been, the carving may be, it doesn't make for two. You don't have clay plus the carving. You only have clay, which is the self of the carving. So here we have this universe. It has nothing, no substance apart from consciousness. That's the Advaya. If we can say this infinite display of duality, if it were to have a being of its own, like there, I am the conscious being, I'm the infinite conscious being, and then there's this infinite universe of duality, and it has its own separate being, then there'd be Dvaita, there'd be two. There'd be one infinite consciousness and one infinite manifestation of duality. But what we say, and through analysis also, it's not just what the Shruti says, this creation, every part of it is subject to constant coming into being, going out of being, coming into being, going out of being, subject to birth and death, birth and death, birth and death. Anything you catch on to has a prior condition, So it's everything, every moment, in fact, is bordered by non-existence. You can't find anything here. But as you go on searching, there is something that is absolutely constant, and that is being itself, which never wavers and cannot be objectified. So that's like the clay. You know, say in the big bas relief scene, you know, there's a scientist in there. You know, a scientist is trying to figure out what is this reality, and analyzing into smaller and smaller names and forms, and looking at, you know, figuring out all the interconnections, you know, all of the relationships, and all of the forms within forms within forms, names within names within names. And, you know, and discovering so much, really, because there's infinite order, infinite connectedness as you go on, you know, analyzing all of the things that are going on, right, in this display. But no matter how much you search forms within forms, connections within connections, you're only going to be in the mithya, you know. What is the truth of the truth of what is there is the truth of the scientist and the truth of the material, you know, of the material, of the names and forms which he's trying to make sense of. And so that material itself is not something that can be objectified. It is what actually is. And so here, the whole Shruti, the whole teaching methodology, has to hold up a mirror as though, you know, to what is actually there. And the only reason it can hold up a mirror to you, you know, to differentiate you from the Maya, is because you are there, not as an object, but as the very conscious being that cannot be changed or escaped in any way. You know, it would be just like the scientist or the names and forms in this bas relief trying to get away from the clay. No matter what it does, where it goes, what it analyzes, what is always there is the clay. It just has to stop and be quiet. A guru has to come up and hold up a mirror to the clay, you know. A guru has to do that, because you can't, like if I hold up a mirror to my face, I can do that, I can see my face, you know, reflected in the mirror, but I can't, how can I hold up a mirror to consciousness? Right? Just to consciousness. The mirror itself is made of consciousness, the eyes are made of consciousness, the seeing is made of consciousness, the mind is made of consciousness, the self is consciousness. Right? So it's the very ground of everything. And so there has to be a teaching methodology that can, as though, peel out off these names and forms and differentiate, you know, the names and forms from its very ground of being, so that you can recognize, I am the self, not just of this, but I am the non-objectifiable self of the whole thing. That requires a lot of teaching. You know, it requires a lot of teaching, because your means of knowledge as a jiva, as an individual, are only toward all of the names and forms within the creation. In the smaller, smaller, smaller names and forms, bigger, bigger, bigger names and forms, infinite number of interrelationships, but all available to our pramanas, to our means of knowledge. What about the very being in which all of this is taking place? We did a different kind of pramana from that, for that. Not means of knowledge for that. Not one that's immediately available to you for perceiving the names and forms within the dream. You know? That is who the guru is. The guru is the one who removes the darkness of self-ignorance. But the self-ignorance is not something that you can remove yourself through your own means of knowledge. Because your own means of knowledge are designed within Maya to experience Maya. This upadhi is perfect. It is perfectly aligned with the rest of the creation to experience this creation. So everything I have, all that I need to analyze and experience this creation. But in the Katha Upanishad, you know, there's that verse that says, you know, Bhagavan forgot something. He gave us the pramanas. Did such a good job of giving us all of these pramanas, all of these means of knowledge to know, to the creation, to experience the creation. But he forgot to give us the pramana, a means of knowledge, to know the one for whom all this experience is. Mm. You know? Mm. And so then for that, you have to have a teacher.
Some work
day. So then he says, so let's look at this again. So he who sakshat krute knows immediately, directly, clearly, at the time of knowledge, prabodhisamye, his own self, swatmanam, as advaya, as non-dual, you know, the one in whom this whole vishwa, this whole universe takes place, just like a city, like a city being seen in a dream. The one who knows this at the time of teaching, tasmai, to him, Sri Gurumurtaye, this is in the datives, tasmai, nama idam, this prostration, this salutation, you know, nama idam, idam means this salutation, to him, in the form of the teacher, to Sri Dakshinamurti, to the Lord Dakshinamurti, who is in the form of the Guru. You can also think of it like this. I'll say, my salutations to my teacher, or to the Lord Dakshinamurti, who is now in the form of my teacher. Or you can think, because we always take the teaching Sampradaya back to Ishvara. So when this teaching tradition continues forward, it's viewed as, say if you have a one candle, lighting another candle, then you have two flames. So it's not that the guru is not passing on something of his or her own. It's the passing on, it's the sampradaya, it's the passing on of knowledge. And so once that knowledge is passed on, what the teacher was, now the student is. But there's no difference because of the sampradaya and because of the knowledge that is being passed. The knowledge that's being passed is I am you. So once that sakshat, once that's recognized, and you have that sampradaya, that ability to teach as a whole teaching methodology, then that teacher passes on, that teacher passes on, that teacher passes on. Mm-hmm. So in a sense, it's I worship the Lord, Dakshinamurti, you know, in the form of my teacher, and teacher, 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 teacher. The Dakshinamurti should be the one who's facing south, that Dakshinamurti should come forward, you know, in a lineage of forms, in a lineage of teachers. So here you can say, he who sees this directly, immediately, prabodhisamaye, at the time of waking up, at the time of knowledge, of gaining knowledge. The Lord never gained knowledge. The Lord has never been without knowledge. So Shiva, or you say Shiva, you know, in the form of Dakshinamurti, it's not like Dakshinamurti had to be taught. Dakshinamurti is the first teacher because he's Ishvara. So now, he who knows this immediately, clearly, at the time of gaining knowledge, knows what? The self, which is as Advaya. He who knows that, to him, tasmai, in the form of my Sri, in the form of the teacher, the one who removes Ajnanam, these prostrations, to him in the form of the teacher, to him in the form of Dakshinamurti, Dakshinamurtaye, Sri Gurumurtaye. So these salutations to him, the Lord Dakshinamurti, who is in the form of the Guru. Dakshinamurti is the first teacher, goes all the way down through the lineage, you know, removing Ajnanam, removing Ajnanam, removing Ajnanam. As long as the Guru means the one who removes tamas, darkness. So as between the Guru and Sisha, there's no Guru outside of that Guru-Sisha relationship. There's not a Guru walking around somewhere. The Guru, the one who removes darkness, is only in relationship to the teacher, to the student. And so this, him, Shankara is saying, my salutations to the one who has recognized that knowledge, who has that knowledge, you know, and then to him, Lord Dakshinamurti, the form of my teacher, this namaskar, idam, this salutation. Okay, so let's just chant this a couple of times. Each verse is really like this, amazing verses. I'll chant then repeat. Om Vishwandarpana Drishyamana Nagari. Om Vishwandarpana Drishyamana Nagari. Tulyan Nijantara Gatam.
Julian Jantal Gatam Pashanatmani Mayaya Bahiri Vod.
Let me just do it like this.
Pashanatmani Mayaya Pashanatmani Mayaya Bahiri Vod Putanyata Nidraya Bahiri Vod Putanyata Nidraya Yasakshat Kurute Prabodha Samaye Yasakshat Kurute Prabodha Samaye Swatmanamevadvayam Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Nama Idam Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Nama Idam Shri Dakshina Murtaye Shri-dakshina-murtaye Ishvandarpana-drishyamana-nagari-thulyam-nijantar-gatam Ishvandarpana-drishyamana-nagari-thulyam-nijantar-gatam Pashyannatmani-māyaya-bahiri-vodbhūtanyatha-nidraya Pashyannatmani Mayaya Bahiri Bhutanyata Nidraya Yasakshat Kurute Prabodha Samaye Swatmanamevadvayam Yasakshat Kurute Prabodha Samaye Swatmanamevadvayam Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Namahidam Shri Dakshina Murtaye Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Namo Idam Shri Dakshina Murtaye.
It's pretty, isn't it? Pretty tune also. The rag is so nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful.
Did we forget something? Prayer, or we don't do that. Well, that was it.
Oh, do we do the prayer now?
No. Huh?
Yeah, we do.
I got off balance.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudakshate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.
So I have a quick question. So the temple in Sabersburg, that was built with Swamiji's vision to have it facing south like that, and the Dakshina.
Actually, is it facing south?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then it would be, there's, well, I'm hesitant, this is what I do know, is that they follow to the letter all of the things in the Shastra for how to appropriately build that Dakshinamurti. So they did everything according to Vidhi. So, yeah, you would have it facing south. But what I don't know is if the facing south part is part of the Vidhi, you know, in the Shastra. Probably is. But there's so many other things, like just at the size of the hands and the eyes. It's very, very detailed. Everything that's, all the proportions, everything that he's holding, the image, you know, the way the Murti is. They followed all of that exactly. They did all of the proper rituals. So, it's a powerful temple, and the one in Coimbatore also is. People come from all over to go to that temple now, because of the bhavana, the bhava there.
Mm-hmm. It's the same sculptor that made both of them, I understand.
I didn't know that, but yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. There's not that many. You know, that are doing that now. But I'm not surprised that we use the same one too. It's really very beautiful. Both temples are beautiful, but the one in Coimbatore, there's bigger and there's more Murtis there. There's a whole little temple for Ganesha, then for Dakshinamurti. Then if you go over here, there's one for Gnaneshwari. and for the Shivalinga linga. It's more bigger type of.
Okay, one time I heard Swamiji explaining the Murti to somebody, and he said about Dakshinamurti's smile. He was explaining everything, and he got to that, and he said, the reason Dakshinamurti is smiling is because he solves a problem that doesn't exist.
That's right. That's true, you know. In the end, there can't be a problem or we wouldn't be able to solve it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's at the bottom layer, there's a big problem there, then we're going
mm-hmm.
Yeah, the problem has to be resolved.
Well, it reminds me of what you're saying about the dream where, you know, I've had the experience of having some terrible stuff happening in a dream and then in the dream realizing, wait, no, it's okay. This isn't actually real.
Yeah.
I'm going to wake up soon and it'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had that experience too.
Yeah.
What a relief. Yeah, yeah.
You know, rather, I don't know where it was, but this the second time I've noticed that word says something about at the time of awakening.
Prabodha.
Yeah.
Means that when you gain, you can just take it when you gain knowledge, because Prabodha means to wake up from a dream, you know? So say if you use that as an image, I say the teaching is going on, this teaching is going on, and then you see it. At that time, you're waking up from a dream as though. Because until you see it, this is the reality, right? Then you as though wake up, you realize, wow, this whole thing.
Yeah, but I thank you, but I was looking at, you know, when you literally physically sleep and then you wake up at that moment.
Yeah.
If you had a dream, right?
Yeah.
It's the same awareness, it's same consciousness that was aware of the dream is now aware of the waking state.
Yes.
So that's what I was trying to point at. It's like this is the second time I see this. Or maybe I'm seeing it that way. I don't know.
Well, what we do with that is you go from waking to dream to deep sleep. Right, so this is actually a prakriya. We call this the Avastha Traya Sakshi Prakriya. It's a teaching methodology where you recognize that there is one self, one Sakshi, who is present as the self of the dream state, the self of the waking state, the self of the dream state, the self of the deep sleep state. And so why this is such a powerful understanding is that, and this is a little tangential to what we're saying, so I'll get back to what we're saying, but you need this first, I think. When I'm in the waking state, then I means I'm identified with this physical body experiencing this physical universe. That's what makes it what we call the waking state. When I'm experiencing the world through my sense organs, right? Because even now, if I'm daydreaming and I'm not experiencing the world through my sense organs, but just lost in my daydream, that's the dream state. So waking state means I'm experiencing the world through my sense organs, and during that period, I am identified with this body. I am this body. Okay? This is me experiencing the world. I'm a subject within the world, you know, experiencing the world which is external to this body. So the I am is there. Now, so here we have the waking experience, but now we go to bed and fall asleep, and then we have the dream experience. In the dream, I'm now in a different universe. I'm in a dream universe, and I have a different body. I have a dream body in a dream universe. Now, it's still me, but now the me that was the one identified with the waking body, living in the waking world, now the me is identified with a dream body existing in the dream world. However, the one who is the waker is the one who is the dreamer. That's why I can wake up in the morning and say, oh, I, this waker, had this dream last night. But when I was in the dream, I was identified with the dream character in the dream world. When I'm in the waking state, I, the same me, is identified with the waking body and the waking and experiencing the waking world. In the deep sleep state, the third avastha, avastha means a state of experience, in the deep sleep state, there is no waking state, there's no dream state, there's just ajnanam, there's just blanket ignorance with no subject-object duality. And then I wake up from that, and the mind isn't operating in that state. I say, oh, I had such a deep sleep. And I describe it, so I have a memory of it. So now, the point, why is this so powerful? It's because I am the one who is the self of all three states, right? I'm the self of all three states. And look at what I give up as I move from one state to the other. When I go from the waking state to the dream state, so we'll just talk about your experience. When I go from the waking state to the dream state, I am now in a different world with a different body. That's not a problem for me at all, right? Because I am not different, you know? There's no change in me. Even when I go to the deep sleep state and there is no knower known, nor any experience of duality, that's also not a problem for me. You know? I have no fear of it. In fact, I look forward to it. Even when you wake up with your alarm, you can turn your alarm back just so you can go back into that total jnana where there's no subject-object relationship. So the idea here, the thing to be understood, is the recognition of the consistency of my own presence, no matter what the state be, whether it be waking state, dream state, deep sleep state, my being isn't touched in any way. So now, what you need to look at when you wake up from the dream state, it's not the problem that it's not to say that now I go immediately into a waking state. That's also true. But to notice that the identification and that the experience that you had in the dream state doesn't, when the dream goes away, doesn't touch you. In other words, your being is the self of the dream state, and that self isn't touched in any way by the negation of the dream state. You see what I mean? When you wake up, you are still there. Right? You don't, from the standpoint of the dream state, of being in the dream, that dream character is gone.
So to be aware of that transition right there would be very important, wouldn't it?
Yes, because, see, in the dream state, you are identified with that dream character and carrying on, right? Are you following me?
Yes.
Okay, so you're identified with the dream character in the dream state, carrying on, doing this and that. The alarm goes off. Character's gone, just like that. Nothing happens to you. There's no death experience. Character's gone, universe is gone, dream universe is gone, character's gone. Zero death experience. Not only that, the mithya of the dream is no longer that important. It's no longer real because it's gone and nothing has happened. The basis of it hasn't been touched at all. The basis of it, which is your being, hasn't been touched in any way. That's what happens when you die. When you die, this physical body means you never die. You'll never have such an experience, just like you don't have any death experience whatsoever when the dream goes away. Nor is the dream significant. It's just mithya, you know. It was just a dream, you know. We might have enjoyed it and wished it, the alarm hadn't gone off. But still, it's just a dream. You know, nothing happens. Nothing has happened to reality. So say this body dies, and now we are not experiencing this dream, this creation. It's totally irrelevant because nothing happens to me and nothing happens to reality. To us now from within, it's so real, but it's so real to a dream character within the dream also because they're experiencing it from within the dream, and then of course all of the laws applies within the dream or within here, dharma, adharma, you know, and all of the things we have to do to manage our own sukha and dukkha, our own pleasure and pain within this creation. All of that is there. There's an order to this, but this has no being in part in the sense of being relevant if it's gone. By relevant, I don't mean from within itself, but from the standpoint of the nature of me, of reality. When it's gone, it's like the going of a dream. There's not any difference. Both are maya. The dream is not, or the dream is not a bigger or less maya than the waking state. Both are maya. You know, it's not like the maya for you, you're the little Ishwara of the dream. So you're experiencing Satchidananda, which is Brahman, plus the limited Maya that the Jiva has at its disposal. Limited Maya means that it's not the total Maya. It's still Maya. Maya is Maya. Brahman is Brahman, Maya is Maya. Maya can't touch Brahman in any way. The rope can't, you know, the snake, see, you've got it. One big, long, huge snake. That's Ishwara. We've got the Ishwara snake, right? The Ishwara rope, Brahman, which is appearing as an Ishwara snake.
A boa.
Yeah. But that snake is not any more real than the little rope with the snake on it. It's the same. Maya is Maya. And so that's why really understanding your relationship to the dream, you know, or to, I like to actually use imagination, like I use the meadow or things like that, because in the meadow, there's no ajnanam. See what I mean? If I have you imagine a meadow, the meadow is, you really, that is, you are the Ishwara of the meadow. The meadow comes from you. There's no ignorance in reference to the meadow. The meadow is your meadow. Right? Just like the universe is Ishwara's universe. The meadow is your meadow. There's no jnanam there. So the meadow appears, is sustained, and resolves into you. You, from the standpoint of Atma, there's never any problem. The meadow is always Maya. You know? It always is what it is. It's not Ishwara's thinking, oh, look, this is my Maya creation. It's not that there's any thought like that. It's that it is the Maya creation. It doesn't have to be labeled. It is that. You know? And so, for Ishwara, there is no ajnanam, and there is no, the whole creation exists, it rests in me. Is me, as me for its being. And that's the aparoksha jnanam. But you have to understand the dream is not, or the meadow imagination gives you really a taste of what it is. Yeah? In terms of Maya, it's the relationship of Maya to the self. That's why it's so important.
And then you have Chin Mudra. So the index finger.
It's the ego, ahankara.
Yeah. Also the accusatory.
That's right. It's the accusatory figure. Mm-hmm. Finger.
So the thumb stands for
Brahman.
Brahman. And also, as humans, we have the five digits, and animals only have.
Yeah.
So the.
I guess that maybe the animal can't do the same chin mudra.
What is
but
this?
It's Swami just, this is body, mind, sense organs. It's just the upadi, you know?
Right.
The animal's only got four, so maybe it doesn't think of itself as having, I don't know, I can't do it for now.
Yeah, some animals have five.
Do they?
Yeah.
Like apes. And
raccoons. Apes.
This word chin?
Chit.
What does that
consciousness
mean? It means chit.
Chit.
Just because of the Sunday?
Yeah.
So it's actually Chit Mudra.
That's right. The Thakara becomes a nasal, dental nasal before a nasal. Ma is a nasal. So Chit Mudra can either be Chin Mudra or Chid Mudra. Usually they'll take it to the nasal, but it can it can also go to the soft consonant dental, Chid Mudra or Chin Mudra.
So in a way, it's a sign, it's a symbol for awareness, consciousness.
Well, the thumb is for consciousness, or for Brahman, you know. But see, if you take the ahankara away from the upadi, body, mind, sense organs, and hook it on to just consciousness, then there's nothing to limit the consciousness. That's Brahman, you know.
My Shiva's doing this. He's got the other fingers closed. And I looked it up. The Shiva statue I have, he's doing this. And I looked it up and they called it Chin Maya Mudra. I don't know.
Like this?
Like that, yeah.
I've never seen this.
Yeah, so, and neither had I, but that's what I found it to be called, at least in one source, Chin Maya Mudra.
Maya, that Mayat usually means, not Maya, but Maya usually means that which is nothing but consciousness, comprised solely of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
It's Mayat. It's the name of the Panini.
Well, maybe that's the idea, is that you don't have these in play. I don't know.
Only consciousness. This the Maya can be an unmanifest condition.
Probably.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Pure consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Consciousness alone. Yeah.
Where did he come from?
The statue?
Yeah.
I got it in Marin at this Asian Asian statuary place.
Maybe some Murti may come in.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. Good.
Cool.
Yeah.
You done?
Yeah.
I've seen a little exodus here. We'll join them.